Frontier.
Welcome to 2021 and welcome to the first edition of Wrestling Daft The Marks. How are you? Hailing from Larbour, weighing in at 185 pounds, I've not been able to shift the Christmas weight just yet. I'm John, producer of Wrestling Daft, host of this very show. And with me, two gentlemen who we walk into 2021 with new resolutions. I really should make a new resolution to come up with better introductions to you guys, but we're just going to stick with the old hat. So with me, a man who's bigger than everyone's belly after Christmas, aside from Otis, it's Big Alex.
Can I start the year by sounding like a crazy right-wing conspiracy nut job?
Oh, here we go.
If you think about it, 2021 actually just says 2021, and we only lasted 3 days into 2021 until we had a lockdown, so it's true.
That's very true. What about 2022 then?
Well, 2020 doesn't win in 2022. It's only 2021 where 2020 wins.
Right.
One W-O-N was victorious.
Ah, right. I get you. I'm with you. Totally. Let's start the conspiracy theories. And that man you heard just there is a man who this week has cracked the secrets behind the chase. It's inside the ropes. Gary Cassidy. Head writer there. Gary, I saw this tweet that you put out, and if you want to follow Gary on Twitter, it's at WrestlingGary. He has cracked the secrets behind the chase, because I love Beat the Chaser. It's fucking brilliant. It's my favourite game show going. I so want to go on it. Have I ever mentioned that I won a game show before?
You've
never won one on this show, so it's all right.
Have I ever mentioned that someone I know has won the chase?
Somebody you know has won the chase?
Yeah.
How much did they win?
13 and a half grand or something like that. They also did an exploding fish bump on national television and they've never lived it down. So
an exploding fist pump.
They don't need my tips then. But the thing is, the chase has a few wrestling references because Mark Labette is a giant wrestling fan. He is very open about being a giant wrestling fan. And there was a question on this week's show about Drew McIntyre. So or on one of this week's show, there's five a week. But aye, the chase... literally three things that you can always bank on in the chase. If they mention a Mexican artist, the answer is Frida Kahlo. If they mention a street artist, the answer is Banksy. And if they mention a grime artist, the answer is Stormzy. Literally the only three ways they'll veer into any of those genres is to have a question on one of the people. So if you're on the chase and one of them come up, thank me. Cut me in on the money you win.
So there you have it, folks. The secrets of the chase revealed by Mr. Gary Cassidy. Just answer Stormzy for anything. That seems to work.
Stormzy, Banksy, Frida Kahlo, and you're sorted.
Exactly. So we're back at it, guys. And all the usual features are back. Of course, we'll be burying and putting over stuff from all the big wrestling shows. We'll be bringing you the latest news from the world of wrestling with Gary. Our two popular features, WrestleMind, the Buzznocks, and Fancy Beginning, aren't on this week because, for one, we couldn't be arsed, not a moiken. We're going to bring back one of our most popular features ever. It's backed by completely unpopular demand. Turn in Japanese returns to the marks as we look back at Wrestle Kingdom with Big Alex.
I'm glad that you seem to be the only person getting really excited about that, John.
I am. I've not seen any of Wrestle Kingdom, so I'm really interested to find out what happened and what we can expect going forward from New Japan. So looking forward to that with Big Alex a bit later on. And we thought, because it's 2021, who isn't doing predictions in wrestling for this year? So we're going to do that. We're all going to take on our specialist wrestling promotion. I'll be doing NXT, Alex is going to do AEW, Gary's going to do WWE, and we're just going to have a couple of predictions about the year ahead. Don't worry though, Fantasy Booking Island and WrestleMind the Buzzcocks will return next week, however. But going nowhere this week, it's time for a promo.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
Right, this is a domestic promo that I'm going to cut. Right, do you guys, you know, you do your own washing, presumably. You have a washing machine in the house.
We all have maids, John.
I actually meant to interject, John, and say that before we were on this show, the last meal I had I had a sandwich with some egg, some bacon, and a nice load of Avo on it just to angle you ever so slightly before you start your promo.
Gary, it's fine to accept avocado as... is avocado classed as a fruit because it's got seed in it? I'm guessing it is.
I think it is.
I think it's a fruit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I accept avocado. I'm a fan of the fruit avocado, especially in guacamole. What I can't accept is people that call it avo. But we'll move on from that, right? We'll move on from that. And by the way, thank you very much to Craig Anthony of ICW fame, who basically... Gary pretty much grassed me into him over Twitter, and he's a vegan, and now I'm scared I'm going to get battered off of him. So apologies, Craig. Nothing against vegans. You're wonderful people. And like I say, I've nothing against avocados in general, just people that call it avo. Anyway, moving on from that, how do you dry your clothes once you've washed them?
A hanger.
A clothes horse. Gary, do you use a clothes horse?
Yeah, I use a clothes horse indoors and outdoors. Well, kind of outdoors. We've got a wee drying green that's semi-outdoors. But I guess a clothes horse, but I don't know where you're going with this, so I'm excited to find it.
Right, okay. Well, in winter, you know, we all go to the clothes horse. You can't get your clothes outside because it's too cold, right? Now, this is what angers me, right? What the clothes horse people need to do is get together with the washing machine people. Because what happens... And this enrages me, and I don't know if it enrages you, but you put a washing in, you load it up, you wash it, then you take the washing up to the clothes horse. And inevitably, there's always stuff left in the washing basket because there's not enough space in the fucking clothes horse, right? So what's the deal here?
Right. First of all, John, can I point out two things?
What?
Washing machines come in different sizes.
Yes.
Clothes horses come in different sizes.
Right.
And also, John will be doing several more loads of washing than we will be doing as well, considering the larger family.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe what you should do, John, is go on Amazon after this podcast and type in XXXXXL clothes horse.
Well, why? Right, okay then, that's a good suggestion. So what I'm suggesting here is the washing machine manufacturers is, when you buy the washing machine, there should be a recommended clothes horse to go with said washing machine. Or size of washing, because at the moment I'm putting washies in, and there's always spare pants or socks because I can't get them on the fucking clothes horse. It enrages me. It really does anger me, because then where do you put it? You can't just leave it in the washing basket to get cold because it gets all that horrible damp smell. Then you're finding radiators across the house to put them on. You're finding loose bits of things behind chairs, hanging them on the back of chairs, and finding things to dry on. And it really annoys me. So here's what I'm wanting to say. The washing machine people, get together with the clothes horse people and find some sort of deal where we you know, sell a clothes horse with the washing machine. There's an idea. So then we have the equal washing machine capacity to the equal clothes horse.
I can't believe we've went for the chase to dragons then in the first two segments of the show.
Back with a vengeance, it's turning Japanese as we return to the land of the rising sun to find about all the goings that's happening in New Japan. And of course, it's their big event of the year. It was Wrestle Kingdom last week. And as ever, Big Alex is all over it and going to tell us all about it.
Well, to start with, I think Vince is going to be ever so slightly jealous since they had a two-night event and they did get some fans into the arena. So for those that don't know, Wrestle Kingdom is situated in the Tokyo Dome, which is one of the largest, if not the largest, arena in Japan. Probably should have checked that.
I think it is.
So bigger than Kurikan Hall, I think.
It's considerably bigger. Kurikan Hall's like next to the Tokyo Dome.
Aye.
Yeah. Normally they get about 40,000 in, but due to amount of restrictions, I've been trying to find the specifics. I believe they had about 5,000 in each night. They were visibly disinfecting the ring between matches, and there was like no cheering or clap. It was all clapping because I think they told the fans to keep quite considerate. So it was a weird atmosphere, and it didn't really feel like a Wrestle Kingdom show in many ways. But they were lucky, as a state of emergency was called in Japan the next day. So there was very nearly that it would have been cancelled. So we should stop complaining and just get on with it, really. So, they had a two-day setup. So, we'll kick off in night one. Night one ended up being very much a tale of two matches, which was your kind of co-main events. On the undercard, we had some surprisingly good matches, some surprisingly disappointing matches. Friend of wrestling, Daft Tamatonga, has cut his hair and his beard, and I still can't get over him without his hair and his beard. But him and Tangaloa beat the Dangerous Techers, which is Zack Sabre Jr. and Tai Chi, to win back the IWGP tag team titles in a surprisingly good match.
Did you say Dangerous Techers?
Yeah, that's
that is their name.
Do you know, this is a little aside here. I had a meeting with the guy who basically originated the term Techers. You know the guy from Soccer AM who says...
I was going to say, I always forget what one it was. Wasn't it Jeremy Lynch, was it? Was it the other guy?
No, it's Andy Asaya or something. Ah. Anyway, he comes in with... the guy's coming in with Unbelievable Techers. That's on Soccer AM. I had a meeting with him last week and I knew his face from somewhere and then I googled it. I was like, it's the guy that talks about the Techers. He's copyrighted the word Techers and he has a clothing range. Anyway, sorry. Continue with the tag team chat.
Oh no, it was a surprisingly good match. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Was surprisingly disappointed by a Hiromu Takahashi match. The light heavyweight qualifier match was quite disappointing. But we get on to kind of the main matches of the evening. So I think the main thing we need to discuss is Will Ospreay's new stable, the Empire. So that is the combination of Will Ospreay, the Great Okan, Bea Priestley, and everyone's new favourite Japanese roster member, Jeff Cobb. And the faction was almost, I hate to use Gary's most hated word, but was almost buried on one of its first big nights. So Great O'Karn, who they've been building up for weeks, lost in a very unexciting match against Tanahashi, where they were telling the story that Tanahashi still got it at the expense of the Great O'Karn, which didn't really make much sense. And Okada versus Ospreay was good, and I think it was just a little bit ruined by all of our big expectations that we put on it. And the finish was a little bit disappointing as well, with Okada going over Ospreay reasonably well. Like, I don't think Ospreay ever felt like a big threat to Okada, which was a bit of a shame for me.
It was a long match.
It was. It was a weekend of long matches. So after that long match, we had the main event of night one that, to me, kind of saved the whole evening, really, to be honest. It was the best match of the night. It was Kota Ibushi versus Tetsuya Naito, Naito being the champ, Ibushi having won the G1 Climax. So he had the right to challenge Naito. It was kind of that classic New Japan tale of the guys that know each other really well and Naito trying to wrestle like he was better than Ibushi. But in the end, it was the story of Ibushi literally becoming God, as he declared at the end of the evening. And we had a beautiful moment as Naito passed him over the belts. So going into night two, the Bullet Club decided to start night two with a little taking the piss of the finger poke of doom. But they were one day too late. As we all learned on the special WrestleMind the Buzz Knox the other week, that happened on the 4th of January. So they kind of screwed that up a little bit. So night two was again, I think the main things we need to talk about was the Jeff Cobb match. If anyone hasn't seen it, that's one of the ones I would definitely go back and recommend. For me, it was a total coming out party of Jeff Cobb, and it was just turned into two big men throwing each other around the ring. And it was terrific. I really enjoyed it. That was kind of my surprise of the night. But going on from that has got to be the main event of night two, which was just, I absolutely loved it personally. I think you guys will be quite used to me going on about Jay White from this, and this is probably the reason why. So it was Kota Ibushi versus Jay White for both the belts again. The match went 48 minutes, I believe.
Yeah, 48 minutes.
48 minutes.
48 minutes, 5 seconds I've got in front of me here.
It didn't feel like 48 minutes and 5 seconds to me.
It felt shorter than the Ospreay match.
It felt considerably shorter than the Ospreay match. It was like counter wrestling at its absolute prime. It was fantastic. And I think having Chris Carlson back on commentary live made a big difference, as he was like comparing Jay White to Alexander of Macedonia at the beginning of the night and things like that. So that added a nice, interesting edge to it. But the end of the match, as we were building towards the finish, it got to the stage where Jay White literally just looked beaten down. He just kind of got to the stage that he accepted there was nothing he could do to put away Kota Ibushi. And it was just the look of sheer disbelief in his face as we got to that end point. And a couple of Kamigoyes later, and Jay White was laid out on the floor and Kota Ibushi had retained his championships. But for me, the best part of the night actually came after that in the post-match interview with Jay White. So he essentially just went off on one for everyone for not helping him to the back because he could barely stand. At one point during the promo, he fell off his chair and then he essentially quit the company at the end of it. I mean, I think it's quite a lot of kayfabe, but there is a lot of rumors that WWE are currently very interested in him. And after a performance like he had that night, it's quite obvious why. So
yeah, New Japan even immediately tweeted out about his promo and about him leaving the company. So that's the thing that was a kind of a signal for me that maybe he's not leaving. But there's rumors that he's, or there were rumors he was signed for 7 years for 2017. I'm going, New Japan don't give you that kind of contract.
Yeah, why would you sign someone for 7 years?
No, there's like no legitimate source to it. So I think it is rumors, but it's quite interesting to see if it is going to be, if it's a legitimate thing that they are playing up or if it is kayfabe.
Oh, there's been a little bit of rumors about WWE being interested. You can see why AEW wouldn't be, because I think they're trying to nurture that relationship and don't want to go in and steal any more New Japan stars.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So I don't think you'd see AEW going in, but you can see WWE just putting money in there. The guy's young. He wouldn't be the most expensive contract, and I think he could make a big impact.
Do you think he would go straight onto the main roster, Alex, or into NXT?
See, I think they would probably just debut him at the Rumble only because of the convenience of having the Rumble there. You know, if you sign quite a reasonably big star the week before the Rumble, do you pass up the chance for that debut?
Almost like a certain AJ Styles.
Yeah, exactly. But then arguably Nakamura went down to NXT and was considerably better for it as he got the run he deserved in NXT.
I mean, look at Kushida as well. I mean, Kushida's been, you know, was one of the hottest stars in New Japan. It's just, you know, he's been languishing in NXT.
But you'd argue, Kushida never really broke the mid-card in New Japan, unfortunately. He was like, for the light heavyweight division, he was really, really up there, but he never quite got to that main event scene. Jay White, on the other hand, has been one of the big four they've been pushing. He kind of replaced Omega, if that makes sense, in their main event scene. But yeah, it was a great show. It didn't really feel like a Wrestle Kingdom. For me, it was just kind of a weekend of the main events. But that second main event fully delivered, and hopefully have another good year for New Japan returning to some kind of normality.
Well, sadly, I don't think it's going to be in the news because there is no news that's came from it, but it looks like New Japan's going to be on UK television very soon. They announced a UK, well, they kind of half announced coming soon to the UK and US, and they've since announced deals with Eurosport in India. Eurosport's obviously on in the UK, so maybe that's a hint, but seems like they're definitely going to be on TV in the UK this year, so...
Well, we're going to have to add it to the buddies and put overs in that case. So we'll have to give you two shows to watch now, Alex.
I've missed one other thing that I probably should highlight. John Moxley had his pretty much first New Japan appearance in 9 months. It was through a televised promo package, but he was in the New Japan dojo in the USA. So I think now that he's dropped the AEW title, I think we'll start to see him show up on New Japan Strong on Friday nights in the States.
I'm wondering if they might make that title the title for New Japan Strong.
It would make sense. Why would they leave it there? And then they can kind of swap it between as well and stuff. So I think they should do that, personally. And I'm tired of them having a challenge briefcase as the main title of New Japan Strong. It's infuriating.
I mean, obviously, there's the rumours as well of AEW and New Japan seeking a relationship as well. So that'll be interesting to see if that...
I think we'll get that this year. I'm pretty damn positive about that. I mean, if you look at the way they're working with Impact...
Yeah.
And Impact work with New Japan. It's the beginning, I think. Don Callis is the facilitator here, I think.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see if that happens. Well, it was great to have it back, Alex. Thank you for filling in. I'm definitely going to have to go and check out that Jeff Cobb match. I've heard a lot of good things about that. And until next time, when are we going to be returning to the land of the Rising Sun and Pokemon? Oh, no, I just about got away through the whole section without a stereotype. Damn it. Guys, I've talked about it before, I'm going to talk about it again, ExpressVPN. Alex, I know you are a big fan of the VPN and its use. You tend to use it to watch anime in Japan, is that right?
I have been, but I think Gary has a suggestion of something that you need to get from the American Netflix, Sean.
Yeah, so we were talking about ExpressVPN before we actually started recording because, you know, what better endorsement for something than if there's a way to use it to watch wrestling. We were speaking about Jeff Cobb. He was Matanza. Oh, I've given away a wee bit of a spoiler. I think it's about 4 years old now, so I think I can get away with it. But he was Matanza in Lucha Underground, which for me is still, you know, I think from start to finish, the best wrestling show that has ever existed, because it didn't have enough like time to have any low points. That, I think, is still on the US Netflix.
Really?
Which you can access using a VPN.
Well, there you go. And this is how you want to do it. If you've not heard what a VPN is, basically a VPN, like ExpressVPN, lets you change your online location so you can control where you want sites to think you're located. So you basically download ExpressVPN, open the app, select a location, tap one button to connect and refresh the page to access thousands of new shows, movies, on the likes of Netflix, on the likes of Hulu. If you were in the States and listening in the States just now, you can access BBC iPlayer. You can also now access on it Peacock. Now, I don't know if you guys have heard of Peacock, but it's a massive streaming service over in America, and you can access that via ExpressVPN. In fact, you can choose from 100 different countries. So you can have Netflix Australia, Netflix Canada, you can access...
You don't want Netflix Australia, John. You don't want Netflix Australia.
Just nothing to
Netflix Australia. There you go. So, for example, you can get, like, for example, the Dark Knight's on Netflix Canada at the moment. So, if you want to see the Dark Knight, you can access that. Or Netflix Japan, and you can get all the anime stuff that Alex watches. So, get involved now. We've got a special offer on that. If you go to expressvpn.com/wrestling, you can basically get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. So if you sign up for a year, we're going to sort you out with an extra 3 months for free with that code. And, you know, why would you choose ExpressVPN over other VPNs? Well, it's quite easy. You can stream in HD, no problem. There's no buffering or lag. It's compatible with all devices, so you can get it on your phone, your laptop, your media consoles, smart TVs, and more. And not only does it let you change your location, this is the great thing about ExpressVPN and all VPNs. It also encrypts your data and lets you surf the web safely and honestly, because, you know, a lot of people can get your data, and VPN and ExpressVPN stops people doing that. So if you want those 3 months for free, just sign up for a year and do that at expressvpn.com/wrestling. That's expressv, the letter, p, the letter, n.com/wrestling. It's back for 2021 as we bury and put over all the big shows. Later on in the show, we're going to be giving our predictions for our relevant promotions. Gary's going to do WWE, I'm going to do NXT, and Alex, of course, is going to do AEW. And as usual, we like to invite a guest, Mark, onto the show. And it wouldn't be Wrestling Daft without him. It's our number one fan, our number one guest, Mark. It's Mr. Bronze Chill. How are you, Bronze Chill, stroke Paul?
I'm good, guys.
You're always breaking kayfabe, John.
I break kayfabe. stroke Axe a Bomber Man on Twitter as well.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm doing good, guys. How about yourselves?
I am good. Have you got any New Year's resolutions?
Kebabs over abs 2021.
No. You know what? You're quite right. I always think you should make a good res. You know all these people that go, oh, I'm going to stop drinking, I'm going to stop smoking. Make yourself fucking good resolution. Do you know what? I'm going to eat a chocolate bar every single day. Yeah, do you know what? Definitely. I'm going to have sex at least once a week. You know
that? I don't think wrestling fans can have that one.
No, that's probably true. So yeah, obviously I'm married, so I can't have that one either. But yeah, make yourself a good resolution. That's what I say. Anyway, we're all still watching the wrestling, and my resolution is to watch more wrestling this year, because I've slipped a wee bit. I've stopped watching Raw and SmackDown, so I've decided over the Christmas period I watched a lot more wrestling. So I've been enjoying it again. But we'll start off with where we normally start, and this is something I've watched a lot of over the festive period. It's AEW and Big Alex, and it's been some festive period for AEW.
It has, but before we get into that, I need to put over Inside the Ropes for giving Tony Schiavone the Commentator of the Year award. Yeah,
and man, honestly, out of all the photos of everybody with awards, when I get sent the Tony Schiavone one, it was the one that I was like, that's the greatest photo I've ever seen, because he looks like the most innocent guy on the planet. And it's just like, man, you just look delighted with that award.
Guy, just while we're at it, can you go through who won the Inside the Rope awards if you remember off the top of your head.
I can indeed. So promotion of the year was AEW. Hard to argue with that one, I think.
Yeah, that was obvious. Let's be honest.
There was a couple that, you know, we done it as a panel because we've done the ITR 50.
Were you on the panel?
Yeah. We done the ITR 50 one, which was across everybody and inside the ropes, like pretty much everyone on the writing team. And then this one we done with a slightly more select panel. But there was obviously still ones that weren't who I voted for, but most of the ones were ones I voted for. So promotion of the year was AEW. Then we had men's wrestler of the year was Drew McIntyre. Again, hard one to argue. Women's wrestler of the year was Bayley. Again, kind of obvious one. We had manager of the year. It ended up being slightly contentious because it was Paul Heyman, but people were getting annoyed that we used manager of the year, but that's the award. Like, it's just that he fitted in that category despite not calling himself a manager.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't get anybody else.
Of the year as well. Just to be difficult.
If we named it Advocate or Special Counsel of the Year, there would only be one option, and it wouldn't really make any sense. So he was manager of the year. We had underrated of the year, which was one that I kind of... I hate those terms anyway, but underrated of the year was Bianca Belair. And then the one that I disagreed with quite strongly was most improved of the year, which was Jey Uso. Whereas for me, I don't think he's been improved in any way. I think he's just been given the spotlight to shine. But again, it was quite hard to argue with it.
Who did you put forward for that?
For most improved of the year, I think I put Britt Baker.
That's a great shout.
I think that was my shout for that one. But there was a load there on the Inside Ropes Twitter, but you need to scroll back a wee bit. Thankfully, AEW were really kind to us and retweeted a lot of them. The other contentious one was interviews of the year, which people didn't really know what that meant. It just meant anyone that's been on television with a microphone, whether it be promos or backstage interviews. That was Cody Rhodes. We gave that one to, which again, Eddie Kingston could have been there, but he's not been on TV that was my we done a wee kind of thing with, you know, internal, what was your promo of the year, and that was my promo of the year, was the Jake the Snake, don't turn your back on somebody I think it's you're intimidated by or you fear or whatever, and that promo was absolutely brilliant. But that was the kind of main ones. There was a lot of them, but AEW promotion of the year was the biggest one, and then commentator of the year, Tony Schiavone. So
there you go, and it nicely leads into Alex talking about last week's AEW.
Well, before that one as well, we do have to put them over again for how well they've handled the death of John Huber. I think we have to mention that.
It was a brilliant tribute show. Absolutely brilliant tribute show. I've seen it. And if you haven't seen it, please get onto Twitter and watch the promo that Eddie Kingston cuts backstage after the show. It was incredible.
Have you seen they're doing Negative One, which is Brody's son, versus Marco Stunt?
Marco Stunt.
On Dark next week.
Brilliant.
Or today, technically, because it's Tuesday today. Yes.
Yeah.
But into the show. I'm going to be horrible and start with a bury. Okay, to start the year with a bury. Snoop Dogg's fucking frog splash, guys. What the fuck?
It was on my Mansour Pentacle, which is even worse.
It was hilarious. It was the way that he just it just crumpled as he hit the floor, and the commentators tried to sell it as though it was some kind of knee drop.
Why are you sending a stoner up to the top rope? I mean, it's just going to end in disaster.
Because he's used to getting high.
Hey!
Did you hear some of the commentary lines? Like, Jericho said something like, he doesn't have a wrestler's license, and then did JR call him a human piece of spaghetti, I think. So, classic all round. I do then have to do the flip side and put over the fact that they're now big enough to get a star like Snoop Dogg on the show. I understand that it's because of the cross promotion with the show with Cody and stuff, but they had him in a couple of segments. He was highlighted in the show. I mean, he got the bits of Private Party and stuff that were quite good. And yeah, generally it was a good day. He even came out and played Arn with the clipboard. And yeah, it was generally a positive. I just had to highlight that was the worst frog splash anyone's ever seen. Like, Eddie Guerrero literally turned in his grave when that happened. But yes.
Sasha Banks responded to it. she quote tweeted it and said, we need to work on this. So
you just think he might have asked his cousin for a little bit of assistance before doing the rest.
Are they genuine cousins?
They are relative, they're genuine blood relatives.
Right, so genuinely, Sasha's uncle is like Snoop Dogg's dad or something like that.
No, I'm unsure the specifics, but yes, they are.
Or is it
blood
one of those cousins.
Cousins
that are like,
you know, no, they're
like Nia Jackson,
they're all Rock and Roman. Yeah, it's not a blood brothers thing. It's like an actual relationship.
You know, in Scotland, you're like Ma's pals, your auntie, and it's like they're your cousin as well. Is it one of those ones?
No.
I think this is a legitimate one.
Right, okay.
Well, I've just found it
next week, Gary.
The last four awards were all AEW ones that I forgot, and it was the Bill Apter Legends Award, which is an active legend, was Dustin Rhodes. The Heel of the Year was MJF. Tag Team of the Year is another one a few people disagreed with. It was the Young Bucks, who I did vote for. I will say that. That was one of the contentious ones. And Match of the Year, I'm going to see if any of you can guess this unless you've already seen what it was.
Match of the Year was a contentious one. So I'm going to stay out of it.
Match of the Year was Stadium Stampede, which people split them right down the middle. Let's just say that. It wasn't my vote.
Well, I mean, we split up. We did cinematic and actual match.
Yeah, actual match. So that one.
And you
match
didn't
of the
agree
year,
with
was,
the cinematic.
I know. I was about to say, I think Ron's going to shout at me here because I had to override the Firefly Funhouse, which I loved as well. That was.
Anyway, let's continue with the AEW.
Back to the buddies and pullovers.
Okay, bury number two. Bring down to the serious stuff. I want to bury Trent for pulling his pec and being out for 5 months. I don't know how I'm going to cope without the best friends for 5 months. It's going to be very upsetting. And I'm not quite sure what they're doing with this Chuck E. T. young boy storyline with Miro. So, but I'll give them till a couple of weeks because he's obviously going to lose that match. And we're obviously going to have Chuck E. T. young boy for at least the next couple of weeks. So it could go either way. Let's be honest.
I think it could be for 5 months, if I'm honest with you, Alex.
It could be for a while, couldn't it? So, no, I don't know, because it could lead to like Cassidy versus Miro, which I think could be quite good. So, but yeah, I don't know. And the final put over of the evening has to be a certain Bullet Club invasion, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We've been waiting for it for a couple of weeks, and it was good that we finally got the Impact talent turning up on AEW, and of course the illegal signal. For those that don't know, WWE are very against the Bullet Club's use of the term too sweet, so I'm just going to call it the illegal hand gesture in the middle of the ring to close the show, which was very applicable. Match of the night, I do want to give a quick shout out to Wardog for doing a tremendous match and somehow getting a mildly enjoyable match out of Jake Hader. I think Wardlow
actually...
That was
actually a really good match. I really enjoyed that.
Wardlow would have been another good shout for Most Improved this year.
Wardlow, aye. Yeah, he would be a great shout for Most Improved, because for me, I keep saying it where he's like, and I hate the comparison, but the way I was with Peyton Royce before, where I'm like, at some point I need to realise that they are just good in the ring rather than going, oh, that was really surprising that they had a good match. And Wardlow has been doing it every single time he's been in the ring. So.
He's hit that point now. If he can get a good big man match at Hager, he's sold for me. He's sold it for me. It's terrific. But match of the night has to go to Kenny Omega versus Rey Fénix for the belt. I mean, that fucking moonsault German suplex was an absolute delight. And there was a couple of good little pop-up V-trigger moments and stuff as well. And what was the Jericho comment? Something about resting on a trampoline, I think. So Jericho did have a great night in commentary. And I will leave it there, since I feel like I've been talking about AEW for far too long now.
Not long enough.
Well, let's move on to NXT then. And we kicked off with New Year's Evil. See what they did there. I hate, and there was nothing fucking evil about it, really. There was that some of the you expect, you know, they've just had Halloween Havoc a couple of months ago, and you think,
they could have at least got Shotzi in that red cat suit again.
Yeah, but they could have done that. They didn't do that, but they had Dexter Lumis hosting it, and that was pointless because he didn't fucking say anything because that's his character, and he draws cartoons, which I'm going to have to bury. I'm just putting it aside, buddy. A psycho that draws fucking cartoons like Rolf Harris. Come on, get that in the bin.
Would you not argue that Rolf Harris?
I was going to say
a little bit of a psycho.
Rolf Harris is more sinister than Dexter Lumis, so
it's maybe a good point. Actually, I'll take that on board. Maybe. The basis character, man. I hope not. Right.
Oh, just don't say that. Someone's going to come up with a Ouija board and just automatically be a heel next week.
Coming up with a wobble board. Can you get one of these yet? Okay. We'll get into the show now. Let's start off with a put over. And I fucking love it. I knew I would love it. The fucking ZLE, Boa, faction. Aye. Gary, what are we calling this? Has there been a reveal on the name?
No idea, but I do think, and there's still no reveal to it, as I do think I was right with it being Karen Q. I think that's her name, and they've a load of names trademarked, and I'm sure we'll get into some of the trademarks in the news. But they've got Karen Kwan, I think it is, that right. She's going to be called. So I don't think there is an official name for it yet. But the one thing I'm certain of that I've not seen, I'm sure Jeremy Borash is the guy behind all this, has to be.
Oh, it's brilliant. Good. It's been built up. Loved the presentation of it. Loved the kind of throne. I've not seen that in wrestling before. The kind of throne sat up on the stage and just sending out our trainees. I mean, Zia Louie looked brilliant. I mean, looked fantastic. Cobra Kai is so hot at the moment, you know. And
why has Cobra Kai not been hot for 2 years? Because it was on YouTube television. That's well,
exactly. And also, do you know why you've not seen it, John? Because you've not watched Lucha Underground, because that same thing happened in Lucha Underground.
All right, okay. Well,
so actually, it's a rip-off of Lucha Underground, John. You're going to bury it now. Sorry, mate.
It was great. I loved the presentation. I loved the kind of karate style, in-ring style from Zia Louie, and she is going to be a star out of this, I think. And I can't wait to see what Boa does in the ring now. I think he's a really good wrestler, and I'm really excited that, you know, this faction are hopefully going to get a push up in this year. So really exciting stuff. Loved the presentation, loved everything about it. So that's my first put over. Let's go to the Buries. I've already talked about New Year's Evil. Shotzi, I'm going back to Shotzi. I love what Shotzi did here, especially shooting the cannonball into fucking Austin Theory's balls. That was incredible. What a name. So she shot her new tank, and I hope that's going to be a thing going forward, that Shotzi shoots her tank thing at people's balls, because it's brilliant. But Shotzi's scream, I hate it. I talked about it. They have that. Oh, I hate it. Get rid of it. She's great, and I think she's going to have a great year, but get rid of that scream. Hated it. And I've already talked about Loomis as a cartoonist. Let's talk about another buddy. The Fight Pit match. Now, it was advertised, and then suddenly we get a vignette saying that Timothy Thatcher's injured, in inverted commas, and we don't get the Fight Pit match. Gary, have you got any inside scoop on that?
No idea. I thought it might have been COVID related until I think we actually seen Thatcher. I'm not sure if we've seen Ciampa though, but again, I don't want to speculate on that, but I think it might just be due to an injury. Weirdly, it was about 8 hours before the show, before they announced anything, that they used, WWE.com just removed it for the preview, went to a dead page, the same pages that you get when you search for Enzo Amore on WWE.com. But they had then Mackenzie Mitchell say, oh, just hearing some news, I'm going to go and check it out. I'm like, you should actually put that stuff into the show. You should have Mackenzie Mitchell say, I've just went on WWE.com and seen the previews down, I'm going to investigate, and it just makes it seem more real, but they didn't do that. But no official line as to what happened, why it wasn't there. Bit annoying, because I was really looking forward to it, but I think we'll probably see that match in the future anyway.
I think we will. Do you know what? I tend to think it's been a production issue in terms of maybe getting the caging or something like that.
Maybe, because obviously they had the problem with the War Games structure. Obviously, they had to have it lifted down, so could simply be something like that.
Yeah, but hopefully we'll get that match down the line, because I'm really looking forward to that as well. I thought it'd been a barnstormer. But let's go to Mother Put Over. Before we go to my match of the night, because I want to talk about it, is the Damian Priest versus Karrion Kross match. I thought Priest got a lot in there. I thought they made him look really, really good against Karrion Kross, which I was surprised about. But, you know, if rumours are to be true that he's heading up to the main roster, I thought he looked really, really good in it. And I thought you could tell he was a little bit ring rusty carrying Cross on it, but I thought Priest carried him through it really, really well. And I thought it was a really decent match. So it was good to see Damian Priest getting in. It was obviously good to see Karrion Kross back in the ring. And he obviously is going to be a massive star in 2021.
Priest has been a beast. Priest has been a beast, and the main roster is very lucky to be getting Priest and Ripley pre-Rumble. Because they can build half their matches around those two NXT talent that are proven. So
yeah, well, They've not really done that in the past, though, Alex. So we'll wait and see.
I think they like Ripley. You don't get a match against Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania for nothing, mate.
Yeah,
I think she might eliminate Charlotte to win the Rumble as an early call. As
Ripley to win the Rumble, I wouldn't be surprised.
That's a good shout. It's a good shout. And match tonight, it's got to be talking about Rhea Ripley. It's got to be the last woman standing. I thought it was really, really good. Really cracking match. They put their bodies through hell, the two of them. It made Gonzalez look like $1 million. You know, we've already talked about her at War Games, but I thought she looked incredible in this match, as did Ripley. You know, if Ripley's off to the main roster, and I think that it seems very obvious, she's done everything she can now in NXT, but I think Gonzalez is just there to pick up the baton from her. And continue that kind of dominant female, and I fully expect her to have the title on her in the next few months. So no, really, really good. Enjoyed the show. Really looking forward to NXT in 2021. I think 2020 for NXT, I don't think I had a great 2020. It had its high points, but I'm really got my fingers crossed for 2021 and the future of the brand. Bronchello, let's move on to SmackDown on Friday night. What did you make of that?
So yeah, again, another enjoyable SmackDown. It was good over the Christmas period as well. There was 4 million people watched the Owens cage match against Roman Reigns. That was absolutely brilliant. Last week at New Year as well, the ending segment with Owens getting thrown through the table from, you know, high up in the screens up in the Thunderdome. That leads into my first put over for this week. Reigns says he respects Owens, but he put him in a tough spot. He's not to blame, and called out Adam Pearce. So he said to Pearce that he feels stupid, and Roman grabbed him by the neck, and Pearce says that he respects him. So later in the show, Heyman tells Pearce that he's now been put into the number one contender's 5-way gauntlet match for the main event. So I thought that was a bit weird at the beginning, but we'll get to that later on. My next put over was the Rude Ziggler versus the Street Profits match. It was absolutely brilliant. And my big put over for that was both teams had matching gear on, and it made them look like proper tag teams.
It's like Heart Foundation esque as well.
Yeah, it was
absolutely. They just need to give Ziggler and Rude a name now.
Yeah.
That's Dirty Dogs. They're called the Dirty Dogs.
Yeah. Well, they officially called them the Dirty Dogs.
Yeah. That's a terrible name.
It's a terrible name.
It's better than Ziggler and Rude, because how many times has Ziggler won the tag team championship and it's Dolph Ziggler and?
Yeah,
exactly. So new champions, absolutely brilliant, can't complain. So I'm glad that they're finally making some new tag teams, well, not saying new tag teams, making tag teams, like genuine ones, instead of just throwing people together. So I've got a bit of a buddy, but then it turned into a put over. So Billy Kay asked to join the Riot Squad. They said no, and she started crying. And then it turned into a put over because Liv Morgan says, look, it's not that we don't want you. So then she stopped crying and said that she can join them because she's punk and edgy, listens to Blink-182, and now on the resume is mosh pit expert.
I love that segment. Billy Kay's brilliant. I really, really like. I've still gutted to split up with the Iconics, but Billy Kay's fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
I'm just so happy they've given her something to do.
Yeah. Exactly. Because I think the last time I was on here, I buried it because it was like, if this leads to nothing, it's just pointless. But you know, if they're putting them with the Riot Squad, happy with that. Give her something to do. Look forward to seeing where it goes. And my final put over in match of the night was the gauntlet match. So very quickly, Rey eliminated Sammy. Nakamura eliminated Rey. Nakamura eliminated Corbin. Nakamura eliminated Bryan. And he just looked absolutely brilliant in it. And then at the very end, Adam Pearce came out with Roman Reigns. And Uso and Reigns battered Nakamura. They told Pearce to cover him. He refused. So they battered Adam Pearce and threw him on the top. So he's now the number one contender at the Royal Rumble.
What do we think about the Adam Pearce scenario here?
The storyline, let it play out.
And the best sell I've seen on any kick ever. Yeah. It's like absolutely amazing.
I think it's adding to the Tribal Chief storyline. It's in Roman's character to do something like that, and I mean, I can't.
And Pearce is brilliant in the ring as well. Mm-hmm. Former NWA champion.
Five-time NWA champion or something like that. I really like the obviously the put a face turn. the face turn on Nakamura.
Do we think the match is actually going to go ahead, or do you think they're going to sub someone in for Pierce?
They could bring in somebody, aye, but I don't think. I would kind of hope it goes ahead, but the one thing that everybody online's gone, oh, it's really annoying Nakamura didn't win that match, and I'm going, that is a really close-minded way to think, because nobody before the match was saying that. It was the way they actually built Nakamura in the match that made people think that, which is obviously where the story's going to lead.
Do you think, WWE are dipping their toes in the water a lot at the moment, because obviously for WrestleMania fans, do you think Nakamura could be a potential contender for Roman Reigns at WrestleMania?
No, I think it's going to be Goldberg still. I think they're still going to go down that route.
Yeah, it'll be Elimination Chamber for Nakamura then.
One thing I said the day that I really want to happen is for Roman Reigns to cost Big E the Intercontinental Championship in a match against Jey Uso. Have Jey Uso be Intercontinental Champion, and it gives Big E a reason to go after Roman Reigns without making him look weak in any way. But I think Nakamura, it's a bit of a weird one, because I always forget that he's actually part of the SmackDown roster, but we've seen what he can do on SmackDown. I don't think they would give him the Rumble because he's already won a Rumble, but you never know. But they might do something, maybe Elimination Chamber and stick him in somewhere. I don't know. Maybe even have him take on Drew. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, true. True. But I liked it. So that match, the Gauntlet match of night, Paul, yeah?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I'd probably put it up there as a match of the year contender already.
Wow. So,
yeah, really enjoyed it.
Fantastic. Raw SmackDown sounds good. Obviously, Raw had its issues where we heard the news about, you know, Drew getting COVID. Hope the big man gets well soon. Gary, was Raw equal to SmackDown?
Definitely not. I'm going to say that, you know, the big disclaimer there is that Drew McIntyre, obviously not on the show, massive part, well, he kind of was on the show, but not live in the building, massive part of the show. And there are rumours, we will say rumours just for legal purposes, that it's not just him that is out of action due to COVID. So, depleted roster. There were people who were in the building who weren't used, which is a bit odd. Don't know why that was. People that we'd expect to see. But I think, I'm not sure how much changed of the very end of the show, but I think WWE deserve credit for being able to put a show together that the start and the end were really good, because that, for me, I always say that the last impression is the lasting impression, and it was. Everything in between was pretty bad, though. I will say that, but I think the mitigating circumstances. However, first put over, I'm going to be a mark and say it. Triple H. Just seeing Triple H back, absolutely amazing. You know, he's not wrestled. He didn't wrestle all of 2020, which is the first year that he's not wrestled since his debut, which was a mind-blowing stat, I thought. Obviously, they realised that, and then the second draw, the 2021, go, get out there and wrestle. But he's just amazing on the mic. I think he's still one of the best promos in wrestling. Annoyingly, that would lead me to my first bury, which is they completely reused the exact same promo Randy Orton cut on Triple H from his last match that was televised, about having Stephanie having his balls in a purse. Exact same promo. Literally the exact same promo. And stacking in with that, I think it is mitigating circumstances that they had to throw something together in quite quick, you know, fashion, because we also had them repeating the same segment across the show. We had two matches where one after the other, short matches ending for outside interference. We then had two matches where the babyface got defeated by somebody in quick fashion and then called out the person that was with the person that beat them. It just seemed like a show that was very rushed, very put together.
Don't let them off too much, Gary, because is that not them every week? Do you know what I mean? Like every week, you worry that Vince has come in and been like, nah, rip this up. And so the show's rushed.
The one thing that I thought after it was, it maybe wasn't it too out of the normal that we didn't get a good draw.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's anything different.
No, but the one thing I'll say that I think, you know, full credit to the wrestlers that pulled double duty, because there was four of them that pulled double duty. It did seem like, I feel like I need to give them a wee bit of credit for being able to pull a show out of the bag. But the one criticism I'd have of that is, well, we've got Hunter's Archive content, just use some of that. You know, you just put a brilliant Bailey thing with Stone Cold. Use a bit of that, drive people to the network. But essentially, everything in between the start and the finish wasn't very good. There was one thing that, again, continuity-wise, they done something brilliant and then yanked it straight back 2 seconds later. They had Drew Gulak declare himself for the Royal Rumble. Adam Pearce says, wait a second, you can't declare yourself for the Royal Rumble because, you know, then we'd just have every member of the roster declare themselves. And he points at AJ Styles and goes, well, he done it. Why can't I? Brilliant. However, 5 minutes later, Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke declare themselves for the Royal Rumble. It's like, oh, come on, you've done something brilliant. I don't know how many biddies I've chucked in there, but let's just say that there was more than two and everything in between the Triple H segments wasn't very good. I will chuck in another wee put over, and it is the fact that they had Drew McIntyre openly and honestly say that he contracted COVID, tested positive, had him live on the show via Zoom link. People were saying, they're not going to have him in the building, are they? I'm going, for a start, they've said he's isolating, but two, they're not going to have somebody with fucking COVID in the building. How stupid can you be? But they had him very openly, transparently mention that if he can get it, anyone can. Wear your masks, keep your distance. I thought it was a really good thing of WWE to do because they get a lot of criticism for kind of being a bit tone deaf with this kind of thing when they are. So I think you need to put them over a wee bit when they actually do something good. Yeah.
I think sport in general is becoming a lot better at owning up to their wrongs with COVID, I think, over the past couple of months. Like, a lot of people have had it, and it's not quite the embarrassing thing it used to be.
No, and I think that's important because you don't want to create a stigma over something like that, because that's how you get people, you know, breaking rules and hiding it, and then it ended up spreading it further. But for me, that was brilliant. The fact they had them actually mention the word COVID, first time it's been said on WWE television since almost a year ago when it was actually first said. So that was quite good. But the kind of thing that you can only really wish him well. He said that he's asymptomatic, which also is, I guess, part of that put over, and hopefully he's fit and healthy and back in time for beating Goldberg in the at the Royal Rumble. We'll wait and see how that goes. But match of the night, everybody was pulling double duty. My match of the night is not even a match because there wasn't a referee there, but it is, of course, Triple H coming back. The best way to describe it, Triple H comes back to wrestle a match that isn't actually a match, pulls out a sledgehammer. Sledgehammer catches fire somehow, and then the match ends with Alexa Bliss shooting Randy Orton with fire. How can that not be your match of the night? It has to be match of the night. If you don't know about Raw, watch a start and a finish, and there you are.
If you don't watch that, John, just type in Alexa Bliss blinds Randy Orton.
Did I see right that Alexa Bliss threw out a fireball like Ryu did in Street Fighter?
Yes. Yes.
Christ.
And I really liked it. I know that it's the kind of thing that splits a lot of people. A lot of people don't like magic in wrestling, despite believing The Undertaker is one of the best wrestlers ever. But for me, I just thought it was absolutely amazing. So, Raw, for me, do the thing that I've done the past few weeks, which I'm kind of giving the game away, where you go in the BT Sport app and you skip through a lot of stuff. Just watch the first segment and the end segment. Ignore everything else. You don't need to see it now. Just watch Triple H and you're sorted.
Right, okay. I will do that. And if you haven't watched Raw yet, there's some good advice from Gary for this week. Paul, as ever, thank you very much for coming.
2 seconds,
on the show.
John. You cannot, it's when you have a guest on at this time of year in a wrestling podcast, you have to ask them a very important question.
What's that?
Who you got for the Rumble, Paul?
Who you got for the Rumble?
So I have a very controversial prediction, and the listeners will probably think this as well. So I think that Goldberg is going to beat Drew, and then Matt Riddle is going to win the Rumble.
I'd love that. I would fucking love that.
Aye. That's quite good.
I would fucking. I would Kevin Keegan. I wouldn't mind Drew losing the title to if fucking Matt Riddle beat him at WrestleMania for it. I would love that.
Aye, I like that.
Book it, Paul. Book it. We'll talk about our Rumble predictions further on down the line. But thanks for coming on as ever, Paul. Remember, if you want to get your buddies and put overs from this week of wrestling to Rab and Gradle, who are back on Friday, you can do that at Wrestling Daft. You can do it on Instagram at Wrestling Daft Podcast or Plain Old Wrestling Daft on the Facebook. It's the Wrestling News with Gary Caston. It's a new year, but the jingle hasn't changed. There we go. We're heading up to Rumble season, as we've talked about. It's WrestleMania season just about to kick off. And there's a bit of news going about, mostly involving WWE. And let's first of all kick off with a story we alluded to earlier on. We talked about Drew's unfortunately catching the COVID, and it appears there might be some more people catching it as well, Gary.
Aye, that was a nice few months we had where COVID actually didn't feature in the news so often, yeah, but back. It seems like it's back. So I'm not sure if this is good timing or bad timing, because obviously we're a few weeks away from 30-person wrestling matches being a thing.
Where, the thing I was wanting to say earlier is, yeah. Is there, like, I mean, are they going to be able to do this?
Yeah, so I guess if there is a time to catch it, maybe 2 weeks beforehand means that they'll be out of the woods for it, or maybe not. But tricky stuff. And Drew McIntyre, you can see why they had to admit that he was one of the names, because he was scheduled to face Randy Orton. He's the WWE champion. So they admitted that Drew McIntyre, I say admitted, that's a poor word to use. They announced that Drew McIntyre has tested positive for COVID. Not the only one, apparently. So quite a few people reporting this. Wrestling Observer, Ringside News also reporting it, and Fightful, and also I believe PW Insider put it out. The kind of thing, how many of those outlets are going to be wrong? Not all of them at once, definitely, and they all have pretty decent track records the past wee while. So Dave Meltzer said at least 4 WWE superstars recently tested positive or have just gotten over the virus. 2 of which were Drew McIntyre and a SmackDown superstar, which was from last week. And the final 2 wrestlers include a big star who's just returned to TV and an NXT superstar. I hate all this nonsense anyway, because I don't feel like, you know, we shouldn't really speculate on it unless you're given a name, unless they admit to it. And we did mention there shouldn't be a stigma about it. But 4 names at least. And again, it's the damning part of this is Drew McIntyre being one of them, because you don't really know the timeline. And then if you look at what Drew McIntyre was doing the last week on Raw, it was next to a whole lot of people that are in a pretty...
But did they not have Keith Lee on this week and Keith Lee on last week? So the logic is that he wrestled Keith Lee last week so that he was fine last week.
It would need to be in between. Yeah,
because Keith Lee would have got it if he wrestled him when he had it.
Yeah, and I believe they are testing every week before the show. So I'd wonder, the one thing is that there's a lot of stuff we don't know about, you know, how the virus lies dormant and stuff like that. But it was with Keith Lee. He was obviously in a segment right beside Hulk Hogan. He had physical contact with Goldberg. But obviously, these, you know, the kind of things you can't really do it. And a bit apart from test the people that were in contact with him and then see how it goes for there.
I think with every Rumble entrant, we'll get them doing a little COVID swab on the way down the ramp.
They should honestly have everybody sanitize their hands on the way down.
Face masks on until they get to the ring and then take them off.
I don't suppose the wrestlers, like, haven't they been hanging about in Dubai with the Celtic team, have they?
Well, I will refrain from commenting on that.
Essential trip, Celtic.
As somebody that put a bet on Hibs last night, I'll refrain to comment.
Have you heard names, Gary? I know that we won't speculate. Have you heard what?
No. I'd heard absolutely nothing in terms of this. It's the kind of thing that I don't tend to ask about either, because I don't like reporting on it. That people say that you should report on, you know, everything, but for me, I don't really want to report on COVID cases, so I just don't. You know, wrestling's one of the things where I can pick and choose what I want to say. However, Fightful did say that, you know, the one thing that I always say, Fightful are always on the ball. I give my hard-earned money to Fightful as part of their Patreon subscription. You know, the second best subscription service on Patreon, second to Wrestling Daft, I should say. But they have reported that it's not just WWE that's affected by this. AEW and Impact apparently have had people test positive in the past week as well. It's always going to be that thing where anybody that's not on the shows and the people are going to go, they've got COVID. So,
well, the thing is, it's going to happen. It's happening in every sport. You know, it's happening everywhere. 35 players in the English Premier League tested positive. You know what I mean?
World champion, like Lewis Hamilton, won the F1 World Championship and then tested positive for COVID and missed the next race.
Yep.
I know. It's and everywhere.
The Formula One bubble, because the money involved is like an actual bubble as well, whereas wrestling obviously is not so much, and wrestling's in America where restrictions aren't quite as strict.
Yeah.
So Be interesting to see on the lead up to the Rumble. I'm pretty sure we're going to be mentioning something else next week in relation to that story, with it predicting bad news too
WWE
much.
Has 25 Performance Center trainees enter the Royal Rumble.
One person that there was, again, I mentioned that everybody looking at people and saying, oh, they've got COVID. A lot of people said that instantly last night when Xavier Woods walked out without Kofi Kingston. However, Kofi Kingston seems to have suffered a legitimate injury. Pretty bad one as well. Broken jaw, which, you know, we've heard broken jaw used a lot, and it is sometimes used in kayfabe, or it's kind of expanded upon in a way that it's, you know, a bit of a knock, and then they say, oh, a broken jaw or a broken face, I think Drew McIntyre had before. It's a bit of a tricky one to know when, you know, he's going to come back. But apparently he's saying that he can only close one side of his mouth. On Instagram, he said that. Said has to apologise because it feels like he's talking out the side of his mouth. Dealing with a jaw injury, mouth's only closing on one side. So if it sounds funny, that's why. But it was addressed on Raw. They mentioned that that was why. Xavier Woods, of course, in action against T-Bar for Retribution.
But, I mean,
on Raw.
Finn Balor was out, what, a month and a half, 2 months?
Yeah, he was close to 2 months, I think. And obviously it wasn't, you know, his was a pretty bad one, and they didn't even take the belt off him for it. So yeah, it could be back sooner rather than later. You know, and they could be embellishing. Broken's a bit of, you know, a word that they use now in relation to anything that's an injury. So I guess we'll wait and see. But good news, he's not got COVID. I guess a broken jaw is easier to heal. So
yeah, well, I mean, what is the tag division going to come to, though? Jesus Christ, all they've got is the Hurt Business left. In the and it looked like they were going to split them up.
Aye. So apparently the Hurt Business, everybody was pointing at them as well, but they were apparently backstage, but they only had Lashley and MVP on the show. Again, don't know why, but... Yeah. Weirdly, the other bit of news comes from Raw. And I only glossed over it in my buries and put overs because, I mean, I should have buried it, but had enough to bury. Ric Flair. So last week on Raw, Ric Flair tripped Charlotte Flair. And it was one of those ones that was obvious that it was meant to be, that he, in storyline, was meant to trip Peyton Royce, was a bit too slow and tripped Charlotte Flair by accident. It didn't come across that way, but
it certainly did not.
No, but I think it's the kind of thing that I immediately thought, oh, that's what was meant to happen, but it was a bit contentious. However, it seems like WWE are now running with the fact that he deliberately tripped Charlotte. And we've got Ric Flair seemingly paired with Lacey Evans. I don't get it. I really don't get it. Lacey Evans, all people, because, you know,
our finisher's identical to his daughter.
I wasn't going for that. I was going for the full feminism aspect to her finishing move being called the women's right and all that kind of thing. And I guess she has played it up to the women's place. You know, she's said before, a women's place in the kitchen and that. I hope they're not going back down this route with Ric Flair and her being like paired with him. But
could this be like the feminist awakening of Ric Flair?
Well, that would be amazing if they give us. My actual suggestion was I'd love to have one final Ric Flair match against Charlotte Flair and him putting over his own daughter in the match. But essentially, it's now being reported that because of the wee boost that Legends Night got, Ric Flair is back in a permanent capacity as a manager, because Ric Flair is the source of all ratings on Raw, and that's what we're going to get. So.
That Legends Night, can we just talk about, because we haven't talked about it because we weren't on that. How bad was Legends Night? How fucking bad was it? Oh.
See, the one thing I will say, I didn't hate it because it seemed like they done that thing where they chucked about 3 million things into 3 hours. So at least the pacing of the show trotted along at an okay pace as opposed to last night, which it really dragged in between the start and the end. But I kind of liked it. People are going to hate me. I kind of liked the Hulk Hogan bit at the start.
And oh, get out of here.
And I kind of liked the Drew McIntyre Hulk Hogan thing as well.
I hate Jesus.
But it was just the... And you know, I'm burying myself here, but I absolutely love the Boogeyman bit. I love the Boogeyman Angel Garza bit. And I kind of like the nostalgia thing, but it did just seem like a panic button had been hit. And... You know, especially the bringing that many people there for, 30-second cameos at the most, and then sticking them all on the stage to watch a wrestling match, it was just a bit...
Aye.
And Mark Henry on his wee scooter was a bit sad as well.
Having a 71-year-old about, while COVID is rife in WWE, is not the best suggestion.
What happens when they run out of legends in a couple of years when it gets to the stage these guys can't come back?
they will, in theory, have new legends to take over, but I don't know.
They've kind of missed like two generations of legend generation. So they've got the old legends, and I mean, who would be the current?
Carlito was meant to turn up, and Carlito, can he be arsed to turn up?
He said they wasn't doing it because of the... They advertised Candice Michelle, who said she hadn't been asked, and they advertised Kurt Angle, who said they had a prior engagement as well. But the one, it was a damning thing where WWE UK sent round interviews that they'd done internally, and they do it quite a lot where, rather than, you know, if you've got Hulk Hogan for 20 minutes, then they might as well interview him and send the interview to all the outlets they want to cover the interview, rather than letting everybody interview him, and then the interview's all running, you've got 3 hours of Hulk Hogan. So they sent round Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan interviews and the Big Show as well. But the Hulk Hogan one, they asked him about the WrestleMania match with The Rock and passing the torch. And he openly said, we missed the boat on passing the torch. We should have done it in the 80s, should have done it in the 90s. He said that nobody was ready to take the torch and they tried to put titles on folk. I think a lot of people could have easily been made stars. I think Jake the Snake made himself a star for one, and obviously you look at Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels and all that in between, and they are counted rightfully as legends. But he mentioned that the passing of the torch, you know, there was no star like Hulk Hogan until The Rock, who he passed the torch to. I think The Rock was already a star when he passed the torch as well, but it was a bit of a, it was one of those ones where it kind of did give you a wee look through the keyhole at
Hulk Hogan.
You know, the other thing is, he passed the torch to someone. He passed the torch to someone who was literally walking out the door.
Aye, that was my kind of thing where I'm going. The torch had already been passed at that point, not through choice, but it was a bit. Although ironically, I got to call Hulk Hogan humble in one of them because he mentioned that he wasn't the greatest of all time and that his hero Ric Flair was. So,
Jesus.
At least he's honest about something.
Aye. So good fun. Legends Night was great. Let's have another one.
Yeah, let's have another one. So that's it for the news. Thank you very much, Gary. Right, if you haven't done it yet, you've got some Christmas money sitting there that your granny gave you, and it's just burning a hole in your pocket. Get involved with Patreon, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft, where you can get more content from this very show. 3 tiers up there. We all have a tier in Scotland. Tier 1 is actually quite good, not like the tiers we have over here. You can get ad-free versions of all episodes, early episode access, bonus content from the shows, full video version of this very podcast, and you get to vote on what you want to see in the list of Wrestling Daft and vote on Fantasy Booking Island as well. So that's all on tier 1, and that's just £3 a month. Tier 2, you get to be an IC champion, but £7 a month. Everything you get in tier 1, plus you get a video version of the flagship show with Rab and Grado each week. You get invites to our Patreon pay-per-view parties. We're going to do one for the Rumble, which is under discussion just now. You get a bonus episode once a month. In fact, sometimes you get a couple of bonus episodes once a month. Last month we did the Daft 2020, where we give you the best and worst of the year, and also we did a very special edition of WrestleMind the Buzznox, as me and Gary took on Rab and Grado. To find out the results, you're going to have to get onto that Patreon level. Tier 3, World Heavyweight Champion, about £15, everything in the previous tiers, plus you get a free Wrestling Daft t-shirt if you sign up for 3 months. You'll be supporting the show, and you get the first chance to come on as a guest mark or do a run-in on the main show. So that's what you want to be getting involved with if you have money, and if you sign up now for the full year, you'll get 10% off. So there you go. Get involved now. patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. We would love to have you on the roster. Woo! So, like every wrestling outlet and every first episode of the year, we thought we'd do our predictions for 2021, and we'd split it into 3 categories. The categories being who we think is going to hold a belt in 2021, who we think is going to come out in as a big star in 2021, and also we want to make an outlandish prediction as well. Alex is going to do AEW, Gary is going to do WWE, and I am going to do NXT. So where would we like to start? I think we should start with AEW and Alex. Alex, who do you think is going to have belts on them this year?
I'm going to go really obvious on this one. It's got to be Adam Page. They're going to build, I think we're going to see the build to Adam Page as the world champion, taking the belt off Kenny Omega. I think it's going to be a long build. I think it's going to take the majority of the year. And I would now not be surprised to see Dark Order somehow involved in that storyline. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to see Dark Order kind of become a face faction built around Page in a way, as kind of a bit of a, to kind of honor Brody Lee and to do something with that faction and give it a purpose. And I think they could integrate themselves well in with the Bullet Club reunion. It gives you two natural factions facing off against each other, and you think you can build something out of that.
Yeah, that's a good shout. What about TNA? Can you see, what do you think that'll go this year?
Can I give you a shout for the champion thing first? I think Britt Baker's going to be women's champion at some point this year.
That's a good shout.
I'd agree with that. I'd agree. I think she's earned it. I mean, I used to shit on her every week, but as Inside the Ropes gave her the award, she has been significantly improved.
And she's great on the mic.
It's a lot of the things I'm complaining about with her, I don't think are about her. I think it's more the context and storyline she's been putting into.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What about the TNA Championship? Where can you see that going this year?
I think Gary's the man to ask about Impact, to be honest, John.
The TNT championship.
I was going to say, firstly, the TNA one is not recognised because Moose holds that, so it's essentially FTW.
See, to be honest, I think Miro will get a run with it at some point. I think they'll try and build that mid card around him in a way, because I don't know what it is. I think there's going to be a big man in that mid card, and it doesn't seem to be Cage. It doesn't seem to be Archer, although Archer has teased cutting off his dreads. If any of you've seen that on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that, which is weird because it gives him character. I hate it, but it gives him character having the different hair. If he's just going to be a big bald man, I hope he's got like a mohawk.
Yeah, I think he's going to have hopefully done something extreme with it. I really hope. I think I'd like to see
it. Looked like a lot. It looked like it'd cut off a lot, but like, you know, he's got a lot of hair, so. Might not actually be that much.
Yeah, I don't know how long it is, and I haven't followed his career long enough to know how long he's been growing that.
Aye.
You know?
So. Or how much of it is a real hair and how much is not without
exactly.
He's got some kayfabe ponytail.
Yeah. I think a lot of the TNT stuff, again, will be built around Darby. Darby and Sting, I think, are going to dominate that for a good first portion of the month, first portion of the year.
Do you think they'll lead to any a Darby Sting match, or do you think it'll be kind of mentor, kind of father son type shenanigans?
Wouldn't be surprised to see them do it. I don't like you can do a mentor teacher mentor feud, like a nice feud to a certain degree. They can have like an actual like a gentleman's match kind of thing at the same time. Yeah. You don't have to have a feud around it, I don't think. I think that match is a match.
Sting will wrestle this year then?
I think Sting hit will. I think Gary made a point of shooting me down when I said I hope he didn't, but he said that he wouldn't have believed Sting would have signed a contract with AEW had he not been allowed to wrestle. And when he puts it like that, I can't disagree with him.
Yeah. Okay. Right, let's go to the WWE next then, Gary. Obviously, Big Daddy Drew has got the title at the moment, and Roman are both carrying them, and they're looking like great champions. Who is going to be taking the titles off them, do you think?
So I'm going to be hopeful and not say Goldberg here.
Do you think they're both going to beat Goldberg? Do you think this is finally Goldberg loses to Drew, he loses to Roman, and he finally fucks off?
I'm not sure. I think he's got one more year in his contract.
Ruined my day.
I hope so, though. You never know.
They're not going to let Drew drop it to Goldberg. Sure.
But John, the Fiend match, and as well, like,
that was different.
Can you imagine they have him beat Drew for the title and then beat Roman for the other title?
Don't.
Sorry, I'm going to be
hopeful. Although I think there's more chance that we see Randy Orton hold the title again than this guy, because I think they might actually get him up there with the 15 territory because he's at 14 now. But I'm going to be hopeful and say the obvious one of Keith Lee. I think either Keith Lee or Big E, one of the two has to hold. You know, we're saying that there needs to be a first time world champion again, like there was with Drew McIntyre. These two guys are the two guys. Obviously, Miz would be the obvious option, but I think either Keith Lee or Big E on one of the shows has to win one of the world titles, and then, you know, Roman Reigns could hold it forever, I think, and they'd complain too much, and probably the same with Drew actually for a while, but I think one of the two definitely has to be, you know, an obvious choice, but I think one of them's going to hold one of the world titles.
Can you see anything happen with IC or the US champion, anything interesting happening this year?
I would like something to happen, but I again, I don't know how. I would say that I think Jey Uso would be a good shout. You know, I mentioned it earlier, but I think the way to get Big E in the title picture without making him look weak is to have Roman Reigns cost Big E against Jey Uso, and then Jey Uso wins the title. You've got those two. I mean, those two holding the two singles titles would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
As a storyline, anyway. Back, aye, that's the one issue is when is Jimmy back? But again, I think a Jimmy versus Jey storyline would be...
I think Jimmy comes back as a rebel against all this. I think that's what will happen.
So that would be my dream with Intercontinental. I think that's the way to do it. The US title, I mean, Braun Strowman's convinced me otherwise, but I would have loved the Riddle to hold it for a wee while. But I think having him versus Goldberg is gold.
I would love that.
US title is one of those titles I don't really like anyway, because I think anybody that holds it that isn't like proper, you know, patriotic American is a bit of a waste. So I don't really know.
And plus, are we all not sick of that anti? You get the US title and you just become.
And then it's just it becomes a xenophobic storylines left, right, and centre. Do you know how I'd love to hold it? Get to Sami Zayn, switch him to Ron, chuck it on him. That'd be good. So I've not really got high hopes for those two titles because I think they get lost in the shuffle. But
any point in talking about the tag team titles then?
No. Bold just prediction, the Rascals will hold. No, I don't think they will. I think they're a while off. Yeah. But I
the boys, Gary, the boys, give it to the boys. The boys will unify all three tag team
titles. Nah, I can't see it. I can see us trodding along for the next year with the same tag teams in charge. The Street Profits will win them again. There you go.
Women's title on both sides, Gary.
Bianca Belair, I think, will be a women's champion this year. I think that's definitely a good shout. And I think Rhea Ripley. I think Rhea Ripley as well. I'm going to be hopeful and say that both of them will hold the two respective titles. But again, it's quite hard to predict that because, you know, there's former Charlotte Flair's probably going to hold one again. Bayley's probably going to hold one again. So it depends how long the reigns are. But I would say hopeful Bianca Belair or Rhea Ripley will hold a title.
Becky coming back this year, maybe as well. Obviously, maybe will Ronda come back?
Is there not talk of Ronda at the Rumble at Mania?
Yeah, it's one of those ones that I don't see happening as much as other people do. I think Becky Lynch will take a wee bit of time off, but you never know because it's the kind of thing where I always thought she would take some time off to go into Hollywood. Obviously she went to motherhood instead, but I thought she'd take some time off to do some acting, and I don't know if that's still on her radar because she was starting to do a wee bit of that, so you never know. I think I'm going to say no, and I'll be pleasantly surprised if either of them do come back.
Yeah, okay. NXT wise, the main title, I think it's we'll get into the predictions later on, but I think Karrion Kross is going to have it back on him, unless they just go hell for leather and just stick him in the Rumble and put him, you know, up onto the main roster. I think Karrion Kross will have it back in his hand.
Oh, have him win the Rumble. That's a shout.
Oh, yeah, no, that would be a shout.
Because then they're throwing us all off by putting him back in a dominant week win in NXT, and everyone's like, oh, it's Priest that's going up, and it's not Priest, it's Kross.
Oh, man. That's what I want now.
No, exactly. I think Karrion Kross. I think the days of Ciampa, the days of Gargano holding that, I think that they're gone now. I think, they're like the NXT kind of, you know, they're in a good place. Johnny Gargano's in a good place for the North American Championship at the moment. But I would like to see Pete Dunne pick up the championship this year. I don't know if he's going to do it as Karrion Kross. I don't know how they would book that, but I think Pete Dunne would be a real good name. And the other
would
name
you would keep Pat in his corner?
Well, there you go. They could have Pat in his corner. That would be brilliant. I would love to see Kyle O'Reilly have it on him as well. If they are, I think this is the year they need to do some. They are move the UE up to the main roster, or they split them up and do something with them. And I think Kyle O'Reilly, what he's shown as a singles competitor in these matches with Finn Balor, I think he, you know, looks like a real great star in those, and I think he'd be great with the main title around him. So that would be my two predictions I'd like to see happen. North American title, I think Cameron Grimes has got to get a run with it. Cameron Grimes for me has just been, when you talk, we talked about earlier on, the most improved across the year. I started 2020, I think, slagging off Cameron Grimes. I fucking love that guy now. His promos are brilliant. He's just a wee dickhead heel. His in-ring work and his selling is brilliant. I'd love to see Cameron Grimes with the North American Championship. Another person in that frame as well is Kushida. I think this is the year that Kushida's got to do something. And I think, you know, he looks fantastic. I mean, his in-ring ability is incredible, and his mat wrestling, what have you, his chain wrestling. I think Kushida and Cameron Grimes for me for the North American.
I just really love hearing John mark out about a Japanese wrestler.
I know. On the women's side, I think we talked about her earlier on, Raquel Gonzalez. She'll definitely get the title on her.
I feel kind of bad. I can see them doing a bit of a squash with her and Io, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think so. I think that might happen. I think she'll hold the belt. And I think Zia Lee will hold the belt. If they are going to push this Zia Lee faction, there's nothing. It's got to end with her, with the title on her. The same could be said with Boa, with the North American Championship. You never know. But Zia Lee, we've not seen really Boa in action with this faction yet. But Zia Lee definitely is going to have the women's title this year, I think.
Until about last month, I thought the only way forward was to have Shotzi hold the title, and now I think she might not even get a run this year.
I don't know if Shotzi will. I don't know.
I think they might have skipped over that now, because obviously Zia Lee is looking brilliant.
Yeah, I'd love to see Shotzi. I think, again, when you talk about most improved across the year, Gary, there's an R name for you, Shotzi.
Aye.
But yeah, I'd love to see Shotzi with it, but I don't know. I think she just might just go straight up. You know,
I think that ship kind of sailed ever so slightly, and they're now preparing for Raquel Gonzalez and ZLE. That
she got her big war game long enough.
I mean, Shotzi would be great in the main roster. I think the tank gimmick and all that, especially with a crowd behind it, would be brilliant. I think tag titles, Young Grizzled Veterans. I think it's got to be. I think they'll have the titles. You know, they're coming through the Dusty Rhodes Classic and stuff again. I think they'll end up winning that and getting the titles on them.
Do you know my one annoyance? And I think it's because I'm comparing them a bit. See, Damian Priest, I think him not winning the NXT Championship is the one thing that might hinder him a wee bit, because I always say that with Baron Corbin, the fact he was never a former NXT champion when he went to the main roster, it was like, oh, it's just got that wee something that I think hindered him.
He's at least a former North American. Does that make up for it at all?
Yeah, I guess.
Corbin hadn't actually won anything. He's at least won the mid-card belt, which is something.
Nah, it's the one thing with Damian Priest, because he's one that I look at and I go, you look like something that, you know, Vince is going to love as much as Triple H loves. But it's the one thing that I just keep thinking of Baron Corbin and going, oh, because they didn't win the NXT Championships, might it be the hindrance?
Yeah, maybe. Right, okay, so that's title predictions. Let's move on to the star that you think sort of shined through this year. Let's kick off with AEW. Pick out a couple of names for us, Alex.
One I'm going to start off with, right, one that I was actually thinking about someone else in his faction, and I thought of him. Someone I think we should all be looking out for is Hook.
Tyler Sinelsha.
Yeah, exactly. So he's the son of Taz.
Taz's son.
And he's a man that's come back in. Because I think AEW has changed his perception on wrestling, as I think they've done quite a lot of people his age. And yep. I think he's got the natural ability there. He's been trained by Cody. They have he's got the squad around him just now. I mean, I'd argue that Cage is amazing in ring and Starks is amazing on the mic, so we can hopefully take a lot from those guys. And I think he'll get a bit of a push at some point. And I think we could start to see something really good from him. Personally, I'm saying this with having never seen him wrestle, but I'm just got hope that he's going to do something. The other two, as I can see, obviously Darby. I think this is going to be a huge, huge year for Darby Allin. I can see them really pushing him as a face of the company. You can see them already doing it. The association with Sting, the association with TNT. And I almost feel like the one thing I would question they did with Huber was retire the red belt so they can give Darby the black belt.
Yep. I love that new title. The new title is amazing. The one name I'd chuck in there, I think John Silver's going to get a big push.
Oh, I completely
agree. Everybody loves him. So I think he's definitely in line for a
I really hope he keeps wearing his Brodie Lee attire as well, because he looks like a wee farmer. And I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. The other one I think that will come out, I think the Acclaimed, are going to be really, really good. Because I realize I missed my tag team predictions there. There was going to be Proud and Powerful. They need a run. But the Young Guys, I think the Acclaimed are going to be really heavily featured. They need to still grind that entrance out a little bit. It needs to be smoothed a little bit. But once they start kind of spitting raps like Cena, you can see that getting over pretty hard. So I think they're going to be the big young tag team to watch.
Gary, what's head to WWE? What you reckon?
It's a bit of a tricky one because, you know, it's tricky looking at the Raw side of things and looking at who's going to be the person to break out. I actually don't think there's... I think it just depends on who they bring up, because I don't really see they're pushing Jackson Riker now, which is not a good idea.
At least it's not Lars. Jackson's a small improvement.
The name on the Raw side, I think, might not end up with a championship this year, but I think everybody's going to be really impressed when they start to see him do stuff, is Omos, AJ Styles' bodyguard. I think he's going to be one that people are going to just be blown away when they actually see him working. Because for what I know, he is good, but obviously they'd rather polish him up before they stick him in a match so he doesn't end up like Giant Gonzalez.
He's got the vibes, doesn't he?
Almost. Aye. And right. I think he's got star power. He's got that something about him where, you know, when he talks, people listen whenever he does it, and he's just got that presence. So I think on the Raw side, Omos is definitely going to be the one that I think is somebody to watch. I'm not sure. I think maybe somebody like Peyton Royce. Maybe we'll see a bit more for Nikki Cross, you know, that kind of thing. But it's more on the SmackDown side I'm excited for, because I think particularly, obviously, we've seen Nakamura looks like they're set for a push, but we've seen they're no scared to just chuck somebody in the limelight like a Jey Uso. I think it could be a big year for like a Dominic Mysterio. You know, obviously, we've not seen as much of him recently. I'm still hopeful. Chad Gable. I know that people are giving up hope. I'm still hopeful on Chad Gable. And I should say on Raw, definitely not Retribution. unless they change something drastically. But I think, you know, maybe if they do something with Street Profits, either of them I now think could break it and be a star. I think Dawkins has proven that he's worth a good chunk as well. And then on the women's side, definitely Bianca Belair. I'm going to keep saying her name. But I've been saying it for a while. Liv Morgan. I think Liv Morgan's going to break it. And I also think we're going to see a lot more of Sonya Deville, obviously. But I think there's a lot of women on the SmackDown side that are just bubbling under that could be great. And it's looking very heavy on the SmackDown side, as if we're going to see a lot of things unfold that would take us by surprise. Raw seems to just be trudging along, so I think it might take a big change before we see a younger talent break it, especially if they're going to keep doing Legends Nights. So
I think they'll just sign Jay White and just throw him in and be like, there, you can be our Raw breakout star.
Well, that's the thing. There's obviously a lot of people that could come into the company. You know, a year's a long time. So, yeah. And even the names John's going to probably mention on NXT, they might just go straight to Raw SmackDown and be big. So.
No, exactly. I mean, from NXT perspective, a guy who constantly, again, over 2020, started off a bit green and has really improved, Bronson Reed. I think Bronson Reed looks, his entrance, how they're presenting him.
Can you call him by his proper name, please, John?
Go on.
Bronzella.
Thick boy.
Thick boy.
Boy spelt with an I.
I love the when they first done that entrance and people were calling him Bronzella. I was like, that is amazing.
I think he could have a really big year. Again, I skipped over him a bit in the North American. He's obviously been there and thereabouts, but if they could put the rocket on him and they could send him right to the top if they really wanted to, because I think his in-ring works great. His entrance is, they've got the whole package there, I think, with him.
These Aussies and Kiwis learning to wrestle?
I know there's loads of them now. It's incredible. I think him. Leon Ruff's had his kind of moment in the start. I don't know how far that's going to go. He certainly looks really, really good. But I don't know how far they can put him. Let's talk about Pat. I think Pat is going to have a big 2021 if he wants to. I don't know where he's going to go with the wrestling in terms
hopefully
of
Raw
in ring stuff. Bank Pat's going to have a big 21. And the other name, he's injured, he's on the shelf just now, but Ridge Holland, before he obviously got injured, they were going to put him into this faction with Pat. I think they've obviously got a lot of hope for him. And I think he'll come back and he'll be big on the roster as well. Be great to see him in, say, matches with like Timothy Thatcher, and we've not even mentioned someone like Timothy Thatcher as well. There's a lot of good wrestlers on
the I think even the new guy, Tyler Rust. People seem to love him and
especially tag team. Bivens beside him.
I think Malcolm Bivens, I keep saying, he is going to be amazing just on the mic whenever they let him on the mic. But also, I think Ever Rise might be in with a shout because they, I think, obviously tag team division, you should probably chuck them on Raw SmackDown, but they might not get the impact. But Kevin Owens loves them. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, it's because I'm from Canada. That's Aye. Why you love them. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of good wrestlers on the NXT side. It'll be interesting to see who breaks out. But yeah, those would be the names that I would put. Right, outlandish predictions time. This is the fun part. Alex, what are you going for?
I don't know how outlandish this is going to be. So my outlandish prediction is for AEW Dynamite to consistently outdraw WWE Raw in viewership on TV by the end of the year.
Ooh.
It's not very far away. It's like, what?
One thing that I was thinking last night was if AEW was on a Monday, how many people would change the channel for Raw?
It would be interesting now, wouldn't it? And like, they're only just going to get more popular. It's just going to keep going up and up. I mean, I don't see them getting ridiculous numbers. I see them getting up to maybe 1.2, 1.3, maybe 1.5, a huge push. But I see Raw dropping even further than where it is. It's been on a decline for so many years, and every week all we hear about is how terrible it is from Gary, and I feel really bad that we force him to watch it every week. So I will be happily proved right by the end of the year.
Good shout. Gary, have you got an outlandish prediction from the WWE side?
Just for the word outlandish, I was going to say, can we, we've got a lack of tag teams on Raw, can we put the Lowlanders in there? maybe get them in the Raw tag team division. No, I don't know, because they're so, like, WWE has just been outlandish. I don't know if on Raw especially, we've had Raw Underground the past year, and then last night we had somebody getting shot with a fireball, so I don't know how much more outlandish they can be. I don't know, I think we will see more, like, cinematic matches and stuff like that. But I don't really think I can be an outlandish prediction. I'll probably stick with the viewership one and say that I think AEW are going to, maybe not even just viewership-wise, but I think they're going to firmly establish themselves as maybe not a competitor entertainment-wise, but I think in terms of viewers, I can see AEW surpassing the million views and maybe even staying above it consistently throughout the year as it goes on.
Interesting. I'll give you one for NXT. I think we're going to see, and it might go one way or the other, I think we're going to see the first crossover of talent this year between AEW and NXT. I don't know who it's going to be, but I think this is where it's going to start this year.
Oh, do you mean contracts?
Like somebody getting released companies and moving?
Oh, I thought you meant Impact AEW.
No, Impact. I'm talking about we're going to see either. I honestly think it'll probably be on the AEW side that they'll take someone from NXT as opposed to vice versa, I would imagine.
But what do you think the Undisputed Era's contracts are currently looking like?
Well, you know,
it's been like 3 years since they signed, has it?
I could, you know what? It's not that outlandish.
3 years, April, potentially, if they signed a 3-year contract.
One thing is, I don't know about the wrestling, but I know Adam Cole signed a new contract when they went to live TV.
Right.
So I don't know if anybody else did, and obviously that was a year ago. Just over a year ago. So, and I don't know how many others did, but I know that he got a wee bump in his contract for, you know, obviously being the champion at the time in live TV and stuff. So,
I don't think it's outlandish to say that I think they'll split up the Undisputed Era. And
I'll take mine back and say Tessa Blanchard going to Raw.
There you go. So yeah, that's it. I think there's a lot of those could come true, you know.
Possibly, aye. I think getting the happens is probably going to be more outlandish than anything we've predicted.
Well, it's wrestling, baby. It's wrestling.
Can that be your new catchphrase? This is the year John gets a good one. It's wrestling, baby. That's wrestling.
So there we go. That's it then. We'll do that. Okay. I'll just sum this bit up, actually. So that's our predictions for 2021. If you've got any outlandish predictions, however, this week's list of wrestling daft with Rab and Grado, Rab is going to give you his top 3 outlandish predictions for 2021. So please get them on the usual channels, Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. We'd love to hear yours. And that is it for this week's show, gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining me. Pleasure to be with you again, because all I've been stuck with and is in the house with my family, and none of them want to talk about wrestling with me. I've tried my son, not interested. Tried my daughter, not interested. Tried the dog, not interested.
Will they at least talk about clothes horses with you?
Well, they might. They probably would. It should be interesting. I've tried to get my wife into it as well, and just like, try to sell her on the sex. You know, it's like, look at these big, hunky men. Look at that guy with the... She likes Roman. She'll have to say she likes Roman. But I've now said, Roman wrestles with his top off now. You need to come and watch.
Still look at his big, fancy tattoos.
So it's been great to speak to you guys about wrestling for the last wee while. Remember, if you do like what we talk about, you can always subscribe to us on Apple or wherever you get your podcast, and leave a nice little review up there, you know. We've not even talked about Alex's man bun. If you're listening on or watching this podcast, you can obviously on Patreon. Please rate Alex's man bun while you're on Apple, because that would really fucking confuse people when they go to read the reviews. So please do that. Remember, Rab and Grado back with the main show on Friday. All the usual stuffs. We'll have the run-in if you want to get involved in that. We've talked about they'll have outlandish predictions on the list of wrestling dads. And remember, we want to hear your wrestling road stories. So if you have any stories from your life, just think about it as Graham Norton's red chair. If you've got a really fucked up story that would make us laugh, please get involved with us and give it to us. Best probably way to do that is actually on our email, wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. It can be as long and as mental as you want. We love to hear your stories. So that'll be back on with Rab and Grado on Friday. Gentlemen, anything you would like to plug?
Nah, Wrestling Gary on Twitter. There you go. I've not plugged my Twitter. Although, has Alex been using his more over the holiday?
I don't think he has.
I thought you might have been tweeting about Wrestle Kingdom and all
that's
that.
That's a lie. I put out a tweet today, actually, because the Voices of Wrestling put out their yearly New Japan yearbook today. So I tweeted that out today. So check my Twitter and go and download that. You can get it for free, but you also suggest a donation of a couple of quid as well.
And where can we find you on Twitter, Alex?
At Team 3D Artist, I believe.
I love how you changed your name to a wrestling-based one. So yeah, that's it for this week's show. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time, keep marking out. Audio Frontier.